Hi, you guys. Welcome to Cabernet and A.
Keegan Allen.
Hello, Cabernet and A.
Are you a wine drinker, Keegan?
I don't indulge. I enjoy people that do.
Mr. Norman Buckley, director of Pretty Little Lies.
Thank you for asking me.
The writers and Marlene know what the final word is going to be.
Absolutely. They're not making it up.
Does the actor who plays A know that he or she is playing A?
I can't answer that.
It was worth a shot.
Officer Barry Maple. Jim Titus!
I am drinking Cabernet right now.
So. Oh, yeah!
I'm about to bottle in, so don't get me into any trouble.
Cabernet and A.
Hi, you guys!
It's Cabernet and A.
Addendum!
So, last week, what was it? June something.
Listen,
first week of June.
I don't know dates, Sue.
It was the season 6, episode 2. Was it episode 2? Yeah, it was episode 2. Chelsea's getting more Cabernet for us. Because the addendum always needs more. I didn't have a voice, and I didn't get a chance to talk about the amazing handling of post-traumatic stress disorder on the episode. Why is my opinion important in this? Is because Sue Funk here, coming out as I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Just a little bit of background on that. No, I wasn't in the shit. I was never in a wartime scenario. I am what they call a survivor of suicide. My father committed suicide when I was 16. And he was verbally and physically abusive to my mother and I, and I was the one that found his body. And because I was 16, my brain wasn't developed enough to understand. Well, I was actually, it was the week before my 16th birthday. And so I was 15, technically. And my brain wasn't developed enough to understand the trauma that it was experiencing. So it kind of like hit it, and then I was frozen and numb in my emotions for a long time, and then it came out in random ways. One of the most poignant ways, I think, and like the most traumatic, was I went back to school 2 weeks after my father's death, or a week actually after my father's death, and I went to my my English class, and we were reading Antigone. And if you've ever read Antigone, you know everyone commits suicide. So you want to talk about triggers.
Oh, my God.
I had that was my first memorable, the one that I really recall, a flashback. And so what I can describe to you is that I was no longer in my English classroom. I was at my house finding my father's body. I was screaming. And all of a sudden, somebody touched me in my English class, and I was back in my English class. It was very horrific. And it's post-traumatic stress flashbacks have been depicted in so many different pieces of cinema. I mean, to me, the one that did it the most realistic and the most horrifically, I haven't seen American Sniper or what's the other one where the guy blows up?
Recently?
It won an award. The Titanic's husband, she was married to the guy who made it.
What's her name? Oh my God, we're just talking about it. Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, Catherine Bigelow's movie. Dealt with it. I purposely do not watch those movies because I know that it is also a trigger to me when I see very realistic post-traumatic stress stuff. It hits home and it upsets me, and I know that because I watched The Ring, and The Ring, the way that that
they
show,
deal with PTSD stuff?
Not necessarily, but the
really
way that the Ring was shot is they show the way that people ingested the video that they watched and how that makes it seem.
Got it.
And the way that they cut that movie was so similar to the way that I felt when I had post-traumatic stress.
Oh my gosh.
Whenever I have my flashbacks, which I have to say, thanks to behavioral cognitive therapy and medicine and everything, like, I very, very rarely have these episodes, maybe like once a year at most. But it is something that I deal with, and I think it's something that you know, you can deal with many different ways. You can go to hypnotic therapy. You can go to talk therapy, drug therapy. There's so many different ways and so many wonderful outlets now that we understand the issue. But watching Pretty Little Liars last week and knowing that they were going to deal with that, I was a little bit scared, and I was kind of glad that I was home and, like, dealing with it with, like, my Xanax nearby.
Right. God
forbid it felt too real. And the thing that I really, really loved that they did that I felt helped me watching it as somebody who has post-traumatic stress was the greening of the film.
Oh, interesting.
Because it didn't... It was really good to show that this is the flash.
Yeah.
This is the flash. This is a flashback. This is a post-traumatic stress thing. But it didn't feel too real.
It kind of dulled the,
Because the thing is that, like, it's almost as if, like, and this is one of the reasons why I would never do any sort of psychotropic, like, acid, and like, or mushrooms, is that I'm always afraid because they tell you that you have vivid flashes. And when you have post-traumatic stress, you literally feel like you are in a different place.
Wow.
You are in a different world. It's really... Like, it would be cool if it wasn't living out your most horrible moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just the way, I think my shrink described it really well to me, which is, like, it's as if you have a scab on your brain and it doesn't heal correctly. And if somebody touches it, you just feel that pain that you feel just as if you had a scab and you touch it. And when somebody touches it, it feels just like when you first got that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so very, except instead of feeling like, ow, that hurts, it's like, oh my God, this is what happened that made me so upset.
I don't think I ever realized, and I mean, like, Sue and I have been friends for a long time, and I knew in generalities, or, you know, I know your history, and I know, but I don't think we ever talked about it this much in detail, and I actually have to say I honestly did not know that. That was, it sound, and I mean, again, it sounds so, like, naive or, like, uneducated, which is why we talk about these things. Like I don't think I ever realized that PTSD was necessarily associated with, that, like, vivid flashbacks. I guess, like, in my mind, I always, like, envisioned it as just sort of a, like, or, you know, the bits and pieces of things you hear about it, just sort of, like, how do I articulate it? Maybe just sort of like an overarching constant sort of like anxiety or burden rather than like very, you know, vivid sort of like.
Yeah, no, it's very similar to what they showed the girls having,
so
which
crazy.
I thought that they did a really excellent job.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that they did it with kind of like, I mean, I can't thank Norman Buckley enough that, like, he did it with kind of a filter that showed this is their reality, but this is, you know, not real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that's one of the scariest things about post-traumatic stress disorder is that, and the thing that I thought that was really interesting that I learned about it was it's not just like, oh, somebody says suicide, and then I think it.
Of course.
It's as little as a scent.
Sure.
Scent is, smell is very,
very,
like, a big trigger of memory. I think everybody kind of, if you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, like, if I smell a certain scent, it reminds me of my pop-pop, or it reminds me of this time when I was little and I was in this place.
Yep.
But, like, it's really tough for me. It's bittersweet because my father died a week before my birthday, which is December 5th, and that's the fall. And I remember the scent of fall so vividly when I found him that it's always very hard because when fall sets in, I smell that smell.
Yep.
And it's really, it takes work for me not to be upset about it.
Yep.
But to be like, I'm happy it's fall now, and that's not a sad moment.
Absolutely.
But it's a really interesting process to go through, and it's difficult. And I think that I was happy in episode 3 of season 6 where they do go, I mean, as sketchy as we think Dr. Sullivan might be, I'm glad that they're talking to somebody about it because it's not something that you're just like, you can't give a pill. You can't just be like, all right, we talked about it, or you got checked out at a hospital. You really need a continual process of dealing with this issue, because it is such a deep tear into your brain of, you know, and they're a little bit older than what I was when this happened, but it is something where, you know, your brain's not fully gelled into coping and understanding things until your mid-20s even. So where I was still developing and becoming who I am today, and it really messed up, like, my processing of emotion even because of that. And I had to do a lot of work to be able to be a healthy person and understand emotion and, like, how to deal with trauma. But I think that, like, even other traumas that I faced in my life, it also, I'm more prone to post-traumatic stress disorder because of that. And that's something that, like, I think that this show is really great. Like, I really commend Pretty Little Liars for what they're doing, because I think, to me, I'm happy that it shows that you don't have to go to war to feel this way.
Yeah.
And not to discount any soldier. Like, soldiers, the shit they see, I cannot even fathom. I'm not trying to say we're on the same level.
Of course.
But I am trying to say that this is a disease that you do not have to be in war to understand.
Absolutely.
And to me, that was really, like, wonderful to see, like, them being like, all right, this is an issue that people have who have been through traumatic experiences.
Yep.
And this is what it's like.
Yeah.
And I think they did an excellent job. And I'm really, really impressed with the work of the writers, of Norman Buckley, of, I mean, I'm Arlene King as a showrunner. Like, I think they really did it in a thoughtful and creative way that was very real.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's part of me that's really much like, very much like, as someone who loves these characters, I'm like, I don't want them to deal with this. Like, I feel horrible that they have to go through this. But if they're going to go through it, it's A, great that they have each other. And it's B, great that they're doing it on a show where this is something that teens will see and maybe understand better when, if they have somebody. Because I think one of my things that was also really difficult was that I had this through high school and nobody understood.
Yeah.
And I was very misunderstood. And I was thought of as, like, you know, Funk went weird, Funk went crazy, Funk's dad committed suicide and she went crazy. And
yeah,
in a way I did, but I did in a way that was manageable. And I did in a way where I was able to get help, and I was helped, and I did deal with it. But yeah, you can't go through something traumatic without being scarred, especially as a younger person. I mean, not to say that if someone was 50 and went through the same things that I went through or the girls went through, wouldn't have a similar issue.
Yep.
You know, trauma is trauma.
Absolutely.
And the brain isn't prepared for horrible things to happen.
And it's just another, I mean, this show, Pretty Little Liars, is so progressive and so pioneering, I think, and just being very, like, inclusive and very, like, you know, hopefully things that won't even be necessarily considered progressive in even 10 years from now, which is like, look, a prominently, you know, featured lesbian couple. It's like, hopefully that will just be life in a few years from now. But
people
at this time,
overcoming bullying.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's all these things. I think, like, one of the reasons among many that we love the show is because they are very, like, champions of the people, and, like, this is real life. Like, you know, whatever, sexuality and, like, exactly, like, other interpersonal experiences and mental issues. And Sue and I are both such proponents of mental health, and just even, like, discussing these sorts of things, you know, is something that's very personal to both of us. And just, like, the more we have conversations about these sorts of things and, you know, neurological disorders and whatever, what have you, the more we normalize them.
Yeah.
You know, and the more we can destigmatize them, which is something that I think we're both very passionate about, which is why we thought it was important to have this, you know, very real Cabernet A addendum, because
yeah,
the more we kind of acknowledge that these sort of things are happening and that, and I think also on sort of another level, Sue, the reason I love that we're talking about this is not only for the reasons we just mentioned, but because I think there's also, there's that percentage of fans and viewers that are watching that episode and that are like, oh, that's like cool that they're getting into this heavy subject matter. And then there's that other, you know, percentage that's just going to watch it in sort of a very like, oh, yeah, they went to the dollhouse and then they were sad, bye. And it's like they're not even necessarily internalizing it as like, this is a portrayal of a real
disorder
that people deal with.
Well,
and then
actually,
I think like that for any of our listeners that are listening, you know, but like
yeah,
I think anyone listening right now, that's also another layer of something that a reason it's great to talk about it because it's pointing out how real it is.
As we say that, I actually don't know if it's thought of as a disorder anymore. I think
they recently
classified it as like a mental health issue, not like a disorder.
Oh, interesting.
Like, because it can be cured.
Got it.
Like, you can get over it and like...
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I haven't gone through the steps that I could possibly take to cure it completely.
Yeah.
There's definitely other things, like, there's medicines that you could take daily that you would get rid of it.
Yeah.
And there's also, which are questionable. And then there's also hypnosis and weekly, like, intensive therapy,
yeah,
which I don't go through. I, like I said, rarely get it, and it is the thing that I will say that's a little bit more realistic that they're not showing is that it's so debilitating that you're not okay afterwards. You're not like, oh, somebody shook you and now you're out of it.
Right.
Typically, when I'm shaken out of it, I'm still in a panic attack.
Right.
I'm still, like, there's a lot of adrenaline that is, is it a panic attack or is it a anxiety attack? I'm never sure the difference of that. Jay Moore is always really good about talking about the difference, but it's the fight.
Like you're still in
an elevated,
fight or
flight hits when you have that because you are taken to a point where you are in that stressful situation, so your heart rate elevates and it's the same as fight or flight, where if you were in a horrible, stressful situation where you thought your life was threatened and you thought things were going to be horrible, you react, your body reacts the same way as being in there. So even if you see it visually or if you feel it, there's different ways to have post-traumatic stress.
Right.
For me personally, I've had flashbacks and I've had the emotional thing with it, but I think that I don't know if there is a way of having the flashback without that elevated level.
Got it.
Because it's very, I have been shaken out of it, but it's very hard to, even if you're back to reality, let go of the emotional, the adrenaline that the body releases.
Yep.
Because it's like, you just feel like, oh my God, I need to run 3,000 miles away from here.
Yeah.
And my body just gave me everything that I need for that.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. The human body is amazing with protection.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what you get. It's like,
right,
all
right,
we're going to protect you, so run.
Run away. Yeah.
And you get that. But there's no reason to run. And
right,
you shouldn't run. So then you're like, all right, now I'm sitting here upset because I saw these images, and now I have the adrenaline
like
run a marathon.
Yep.
How do I calm myself back down?
Yep.
And that's why I do, like I was saying earlier, like I usually have I always carry Xanax because of that.
Yeah.
And it's not a recreational thing at all for
me.
Because to me, like, Xanax equals emergency case scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I take this and now I feel like a human again and not like I need to, you know, run and flip over cars.
Right.
Because that's what the body does for you in these situations. That's the one thing that I said, I think they didn't really address, but I think that's fine because it wouldn't really fit into the story of them being like, oh, now I'm having a panic attack, because panic attacks aren't sexy.
And it's like, it's hard when things like that, you know, wouldn't resonate, you know, via the TV. You know, things like that where you're like, but I think it's also, again, just like really interesting and important to hear you describe it as, you know, in detail as you did, because I think it's one of those things that people who have not experienced it and maybe don't really have any experience with sort of any mental disorders or issues or et cetera, you hear about things like, oh, a panic attack, anxiety attack, and I think closed-minded people or uneducated people tend to kind of be like, oh, well, like, dismissive of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, absolutely. well, that's not a real thing. Are you just this or that? And it's just like, you know, you and I over here want to pull our hair out because it's like,
well, yeah,
this is a real thing. And again, the more that we talk about it and everyone listening absolutely. Who has experienced that will be like, oh my God, yes, I understand these things and, you know, I'm not alone. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, just to say to our listeners, if anyone is dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, has a loved one that's dealing with it and needs to talk about it, please feel free to tweet me and talk to me. I'm there for everyone who is a fellow sufferer. I've gone through a lot of group therapy also, which helped. It's a serious issue and it's not an easy thing to deal with. And, you know, 15, 18 years later from this issue, I will say that, like, I deal with it very well, but that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's happy. It just, but it is something that
becomes more manageable to a degree. It can become more manageable. Yeah.
And I'm happy to see the shows that cater to teenagers, and a show like this that has such mass appeal is dealing with it in such a wonderful way.
Yeah.
And like last week, it killed me not to be able to talk about it because I was like, this episode speaks to me on so many levels. Not just because I've been through trauma and, you know, I mean, it's not like my father locked us up and tortured us, but there's definitely very difficult days in that time period where I didn't feel like I had a lot of independence or, you know, safety. And living that way is horrible.
Yeah.
And it really takes its toll. And for them not to gloss over and be like, all right, 4 days later, everyone's happy. And everyone's back at school and they're worried about college. You know, this is no longer, oh no, did I not get in? I didn't get that thick envelope. It's, oh my God, you know, this made me remember that I had to choose between X and Y. I'm like, this is a horrible thought. And this is, you know, if I don't drink, then nobody drinks. Or, you know, all the mind games that they were subjected to took its toll. I thought that was a really great thing for them to address. And I really applaud the show, everyone involved with the show, ABC Family, for really being okay with taking it there.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's very easy for a show to just keep going.
Yes.
And I think that not just America, but the world would accept, all right, life keeps going. And I think it was great that they were like, no, this is an issue. I mean, granted, they had to do it also because they didn't show us as it was happening. But showing it as these girls dealing with the trauma that they went through was really something as a victim, someone who's dealing with post-traumatic stress appreciates greatly.
Well, and that's why I think just yet another reason why I think some fans had mixed feelings about episode 6 too, but it's like just yet another layer of reason why it was the 150% right thing for them to dedicate an episode to dealing with.
You might not have gotten answers, but you got the reality of what it's like, the fallout yes. from something that horrible. Absolutely. You can't put characters through, you know, waking up on a fucking slaver like they're cadavers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't put them through being tortured in their room, facsimile of their room,
right.
and then put them back into their room and make it seem like, you know, time to go back to Rosewood High School.
It would have cheapened it. It would have. It would have been disrespectful to the fans. I think. You know, it's like it would have felt cheap and disrespectful.
And anyone who's been through something traumatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing that I was really proud of the show, and I think it really made me feel almost justified that I really like the reasons why I like this show.
Yes,
this show isn't just like I think that one of the reasons that we started Cameron ANA, one of the reasons that we talk about it so much. It's not just a stupid teen drama.
Exactly.
It is got a lot of thought and feeling and heart behind it.
Yep.
And I think that this episode specifically really shows that.
Absolutely.
And while it didn't tell us who Charles was, and it didn't tell us who A was, and it didn't tell us where Mona was, which,
and
BT Dubs, where the fuck is Mona?
Where the fuck is Mona? And no boys took their shirt off, but still.
Yeah, like, there wasn't the things that we might always want from this show. I think that they did something that was way more important.
Yeah.
And, you know, sitting at home with no voice, literally, and watching it, I felt really, really good that it wasn't just cheap scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was real emotion. And it was educational, I hope, for a lot of people
Absolutely.
To realize that when you go through something traumatic, random things will trigger that, and you'll go back there, and you'll feel it, and it will feel very real, and you'll come back to reality, and you won't be okay.
Yeah.
And people will look at you like, what the fuck happened to you just then? And you have to be like, I felt a little crazy.
Yeah.
I was just back where I was, and now I'm here, and I'm happy I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think they did a really great job, and it was important to me to do this addendum just so people knew what it was like as someone who had that disorder to watch that episode.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that we did this addendum, Sue.
Me too.
I'm really, really glad. And I'm glad, too, because, you know, I was thinking about you when you weren't here during watching episode 6-2 immediately when, you know, it was very PTSD-focused. And I'm really glad that we got to talk about this. And anyone that's listening, obviously, as Sue already said, I mean, tweet us, email us. We're not doctors.
No,
but
we're
start,
not.
But please,
but, like,
feel
we are
happy to start the conversation
yeah.
with us. Feel, you know, that we're a safe space, not only for PLL and drinking, but for anything that's really going on. Like, please feel free to start the conversation with us, and we'll help guide you to, you know,
whatever,
other sources
yeah,
or
whatever. If you
whatever.
Need help, definitely
Absolutely.
Don't ever feel like you can't talk about it. And I think that's the thing that I really, like I said, I'm glad that they talked to Dr. Sullivan this week.
Yes.
Even if she is a sketchball, you know, don't reach out to someone that you think is sketchy, but definitely, like, I think that so many of my friends who do have mental issues are always like, oh, you know, health insurance is what gets in the way.
Oh, it's
because
such a
mental
brilliant.
Health isn't Ugh. Like internal medicine.
It's so real.
But
it's
what
such
I will
a fucking
say, there are
thing.
So many different outlets in a neighborhood that can provide the care. And the kicker is, and this is the thing that I always say, it sucks because when you're depressed or when you're dealing with a serious mental illness, the last thing that you can do is help yourself. And that's the thing that's hard is that our mental health system doesn't help you help yourself.
Yeah.
So if you need that help, reach out to people and ask them, how do I even begin?
Yes.
How do I start? Because just understanding, here's this free clinic, there are so many free outlets for you to get to.
And just not feeling the shame to ask out. And that's something,
yes.
I mean, like, God, we could be here for another hour. We're going to, like, get impassioned about it because I just can flip a table. It just... Please, like, let's eliminate the, like, weird, pointless shame and stigma. Like, everyone's dealing with something. There's no shame. Shame is a fucking, like, false construct that, like,
Absolutely.
Humans have created. Like, it's not a real thing. Like, you're dealing with something. Talk to someone. Get help. Like, shame is not real. It's in your mind.
Someone told me if I talked about having post-traumatic stress, I wouldn't get a job.
Oh, my God.
And... First of all, that's illegal.
Yes.
Second of all, that doesn't stop me from doing my job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And while it does hinder daily life if you are not getting the proper care, you need the proper care, and you should keep going on with your daily life in order to get it. Not just for payment reasons of, there are free outlets for you to go to, but you can definitely keep going with your life and doing what you want to do and getting the help that you need. Those don't have to be independent things.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop your life in order to get the help you need. And I think that's something that people are really afraid of like, oh, if I tell people that I feel these crazy thoughts, I'm going to lose everything. You're not.
You're not.
People are there to help you in this world, and there's a lot of clinics, and there's a lot of care out there.
Yes.
And there are a lot of talented professionals. Especially with the internet, there's so many different ways for you to go and get therapy and talk help and behavioral help. And don't hesitate, and don't feel like you're going to be judged, because if you talk to one person, it doesn't mean that everybody knows. And if everybody knows and they judge you, fuck everyone who judges
you. And that's what I was just going to say. Like, you should feel even, like, proud to just be speaking up about it, because the idea that there's, like, people over here, I hope in the year 2015, I don't even have to be saying this, but I feel like you still do. It's like the idea that there's these people over here that are quote-unquote normal, and that you're over here and you're, like, crazy or weird, is just so false. And so, like, how do we stop this strange societal norm of thinking that, like, I don't know. But it's, like, nobody is normal. Everyone's dealing with something. Everyone, and I guess I should say, out of this whole time, like, I have Tourette syndrome and OCD, and I used to be on medication for it, and I'm thankful that as I got older, it sort of has, like, waned a little bit, and it's not as serious as it was when I was younger, which is something that sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. But, like, that's why, you know, Sue and I both feel very passionately about this. And I remember even being younger and being, like, when it was sort of very bad and a little bit more debilitating, just being like, I want to be someone when I'm older, whatever job I have, I just want to be in a position where I can advocate for people who have mental, you know, or neurological disorders, who have Tourette, who have OCD, who have whatever, and just be a person who can be like, hi, guys, I'm living my fucking life. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not everybody is dealing with something, but it's just that we've been conditioned. We're getting real deep here on Cabernet. I don't know. But we're, I just think, conditioned as a society to sort of, Spencer it up. Like, we're all perfect and nothing's wrong, and that's not true. Everybody has something that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
And I will say that I have had issues in the workplace throughout the years where people have made jokes about post-traumatic stress or been like, oh, you should just, you know, do this. And, oh, it's like, oh, why don't you just, you know, what do you have, PTSD or something? And I've just very forthright said, yeah,
I do.
I do. Mm-hmm. And I would never use that in any way to get out of anything or manipulate anything. But I will say that, like,
it's something, you know, I'm dealing with.
People will definitely throw it out there like it's a negative or it's something that is debilitating. And while in the moment when it happens, it is not a moment that happens often.
Yeah.
Thankfully for mine, I mean, I'm not saying that there are definite cases where people haven't had help and they happen more often. I mean, when it first happened to me, anytime somebody was like, oh, I'm going to kill myself, it always hit deep and it always hurt. And throughout the years, I mean, I've even been like, ugh, I just want to die right now. And, well, I don't mean that seriously, and I can take that in stride. Right after that happened, it would have hurt me a lot to hear that. And there's different stages. But I think that, you know, hearing that and going into work and being this person that I am, I mean, my first job, I told everyone that would listen, you know, like, this is who I am. My father committed suicide, and I dealt with it, and I am so much stronger. And now I would say that, like, the people that I work with would be quite shocked to hear that this is my backstory.
Yeah.
And, you know, not in a way that I would be like, oh, my God, people are going to hate me or judge me. I don't think that anyone would, because I also am older and have a stronger sense of self, where if somebody judged me, I would just be like, you're a twat.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, but you hold it a little closer
now.
You keep it a little bit like, okay.
Well, just because there's no need to broadcast it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think when, and especially when you're younger, you are more likely to be like, this is who I am and everyone should know.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, you know, I save it for issues where it's more important, like this, where,
absolutely,
you know, so many people, I was happy to see on Twitter last week so many people talking about PTSD, or PTS, rather, as it's now known, in a light where it's like, I'm glad they showed that they have it,
absolutely,
and I'm glad that they showed that that's real, and for me, it was just really exciting because I think that so many people... Exciting is probably the wrong word, but it's just, it's good for me to hear that people are understanding that it doesn't have to, it's not associated with just war.
Yes, that it happens
not to minimize war.
Of course.
Our soldiers are amazing, and I appreciate everything that they do, and I know it's horrific.
Of course.
But,
I'm saying it's not relegated just to that.
Yes.
That's not the only form
I think
of PTSD.
It's
just probably the most familiar to the general population.
Because it is so often when I tell
course.
People that I have that, their first reaction is like, oh, I didn't know you were a Moor.
Right.
And it's like,
no, it can happen
I was in trauma.
Exactly.
And that's what happens.
Which is another reason. Exactly. That's so good. And that's, you know, I think both of our biggest thing is like, talking about it is step number one and 100. Like, you just have to talk about the shit that you're going through. And like, you shouldn't feel embarrassed or ashamed or whatever. Just, like, anything that you're going through, you just should keep talking about it. Because that's talking about it and not feeling embarrassed or ashamed or whatever is the only way to normalize it. You know? And, like, that's, I think, something we're both very passionate about. And, like...
Just don't keep it bottled in, because that's how it gets worse. And
exactly.
I think, again, that's why I was happy in 6-3 to see them talking about it to people. And even at the end of 6-2, when Hannah finally told her mother why she was upset about her room issue and all that stuff, about, like, oh, I have to rip apart my room. It just feels like that place, and this isn't that place, and I need to make this my room again. To me, that was really... gratifying to see that she's taking control of her situation, she's making it better, and she's telling somebody, this is why I feel the way I feel.
Absolutely.
And I think that this is a show where, yes, it's frustrating, we don't know who A is, we don't know what that is. At the heart of it, these are teenagers going through a lot of issues that teenagers go through in
Absolutely.
Many different ways.
Absolutely.
It's boyfriends, it's college, it's teachers, it's
their
friends,
relationships with each other. Yeah.
It's their relationships with each other, relationships within girls. And I think that's one of the things that's really important is that it's also not just about boys. It's all about, you know, how people deal with their friends. And I think that it was really beautiful to see that this show dealt with, these girls have been through such a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
That this is what it's like for someone their age to deal with something so traumatic.
Absolutely.
And I just can't thank the show enough for doing that, and I wish that I had this when I was growing up, because I had nothing to like this.
To be able to see what you're going through and to be able to see a mirror.
Seinfeld didn't really have that. And I had a lot of ignorant teens dealing with my issues and really not understanding why I was so needy and so emotional and so withdrawn. And for these girls to have each other and for this show to exist for other girls who have this issue or other guys or other people who have this, I just think it's a great progressive march towards realism and the way the world is, and I hope that it helped others like it did me all these years later, just watching this and feeling like I'm really glad that this is shown.
Yeah.
And don't ever hold it all in. You're not alone. There are so many people. I think that's the one of the things that I was really happy to learn as a teenager through group therapy was, you know, you feel very isolated as a teen and everything always happens to you and you're very, it's a very selfish time biologically. Like, you just feel that way. And I think I've often said that I wish that every teenager could go through group therapy so they knew that they weren't alone and everyone has something fucked up and everyone has that feeling of I'm so isolated
Amen.
And alone and no one could feel this how horrible
Amen.
and scared I am. And if you are feeling isolated and alone, I really encourage everyone to just talk to somebody that they trust or somebody that they care, or email us and
Absolutely.
We'll listen, because there's always somebody that will listen to you and there's always places for you that will care for you.
Absolutely.
So
and don't drink it away. Only drink when you're watching Pretty Little Liars.
With your best friend.
Exactly.
That's, yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. You know, we joke about our drinking
we
a lot.
We do drink, but like
definitely. And we do drink a lot, but there are a lot of things to keep in mind with that, which is, this is not the way that we drink every day.
Exactly.
And
not to remedy other problems.
No.
So just only to have fun and watch Pretty Little Liars.
And I'm a big proponent of not drinking when you're in a sad state.
Exactly.
I purposely will not drink when I'm sad.
Exactly.
I purposely will not drink when I'm sick. I am remedied and fully better.
But right now we're happy. So we're going to maybe watch some more PLL.
Yeah, I think we're going to watch some more PLL.
Hashtag addendum.
Hashtag, yeah.
I'm glad you did this.
Addendum. I really hope that it was helpful for people.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that I was able to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we did this. This is
good.
Thank you guys for listening. And I don't know when I'm going to post this. So see you at some other day in the future.
Keep listening to Cavern and
Yay! Bye!